Hi, everybody. Last time we talked to you, we talked about our upcoming trip to Ireland with Club Choice Ireland. And now we've had that trip. We had an incredible experience thanks to the folks at Club Choice Ireland, Voucha Ireland, Tourism Ireland, Golf Ireland. And we had a wonderful journey. We kind of want to have a kind of wrap up of what we did, what we experienced, what we saw, where we played. So I'm here with Tiernan Byrne from Club Choice Ireland and Brendan Sweeney, who was my partner in crime on this trip. And just kind of wanted to run through what we went through for 9 or 10 days together and have a little bit of feedback on our trip and hopefully inform maybe your future trip to Ireland, Saint-Genis. So, Brendan and Tiernan, thanks for being with us. I want to kind of start with the journey over. We both had nonstop flights. Brendan had to escape a hurricane to get over to Ireland. I got a very convenient tailwind thanks to the hurricane and got in a little bit early. But from there, we met Tiernan, who was right there at the airport, man on the spot with a coffee for us. And then we took a quick journey to Malahide Castle. And we were on our way up to Malahide. That was kind of our starting point for the trip. You know, 3 nights there, really trying to get our bearings about us. So, Tiernan, can you tell us everybody a little bit about Malahide Castle? And I thought one of the kind of hidden gems really early on was that cafeteria that we were in for lunch.
Great to see you both boys. I have to say, delighted I got rid of you. It was a fun week when it lasted, but I'm delighted that you got home safe. The start of the trip, I kind of always try and not do too much day one straight off a plane. You can go for a bit of golf early doors, but even if you can take 2 or 3 hours just to settle in and find your feet. So what we did was, on our way to Malahide, which is where you were staying for those 3 nights, we stopped off at Malahide Castle, which is this gorgeous domain, right on the edge of the town, which again is just walking distance to the seaside. And the castle itself is gorgeous, and you know, people we do tours of it all the time. But I knew by the look in your eyes, Ryan, that you wanted some Irish food quick. So we made straight for the Avoca Cafe, which is a gorgeous kind of arts and local arts and crafts shop, and then they have an artisan food cafe, and got ourselves stocked up for the day, got ourselves refueled, and it's a nice sort of casual dining. Buffet style experience. Really good food though. Some nice coffee, and that sort of kicked us off on the right foot, I think, day one.
I mean, you came in a little bit behind schedule, maybe with the baggage offload, but you're ready to go.
I tell you what, when obviously flying from Orlando on Aer Lingus, the new Terminal C at Orlando. Was fabulous. Just checking in there, and it was really like a really comfortable experience getting on the plane and shooting over. Then meeting you guys in the airport. And one of the first things I noticed in the airport was the big green, white, and orange sign that says Ireland, drive on your left. And that will be a theme that we'll be talking about for the rest of the podcast, I would assume. But the amount of the Americans that were over there at baggage claim was also pretty eye-opening to me, that the amount of groups that were coming over, and then shooting right over to the castle in Malahide. And it was sort of a little cloudy, overcast day. And then proceeding to the Malahide, the town, which was fabulous. Just about 30 minutes north of Dublin, running the water right there at the Grand Hotel, which was a great home base for our first leg. Really just 5-star hotel. The staff was fabulous. The food was great. A lot of conversation, a lot of friendly faces there. So, yeah, day one of getting acclimated to Ireland. Our goal was to stay alive and see as much as we can could without actually going down for the night. Tiernan departed, and we went about our merry way and found our way into a couple establishments in Malahide, Gabney's and then Duffy's, which was sort of our home base for the next.
We became townies for 2 or 3 days.
But I got a feeling that there's a lot of American townies that become townies after a couple hours in that place. So it was
When
great.
you walked into the bar on the was it the Saturday night, and like the barman is calling your name from across the room, that's when you know you've made an impression and you've only been there for 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah, we kind of chatted some people's ears off a little bit. I have to say, I love Malahide, and I didn't know what to expect coming into it. I try to do a little research on a trip ahead of time, but not too much, so I feel like I built an impression. It was such a perfect starting base for the trip because it had good establishments. The views were incredible. The hotel was fantastic. The staff was wonderful, even though it was a little bit of a maze for us the first night because we probably shouldn't have drank as much as we did to figure out our hotel room. But being able to jump off from there and go to Boutre, which we'll talk about in a minute, then Port Marnock, I mean, both of those not very far away, pretty reasonable drives, and then to have something to come back to that didn't feel like you were just, and I love Dublin, but that you weren't just in a big city, that you felt like you were experiencing a, I won't say a real Irish town, but a town that you might not otherwise experience if you're not trying to make intentional stops around the way. And I thought that was one of the best parts of the itinerary, frankly, Tiernan, was that we went and experienced so many different towns over the course of the trip that we got to experience what Ireland is really like, not just the capital.
Yeah. And it was, and that's on purpose, because I knew both of you have been to Dublin before. Not every group wants to stay in Dublin. Everyone, I think, wants to dip in into Dublin City and see something and experience that. But that doesn't mean you need to be based there. And look, I'm a golfer myself, and through the 10 years experience I have doing this, Malahide offers that little bit of extra Irish hospitality, along with the casual flow of being in a small Irish seaside town where you can walk out your hotel and go to Gibney's for a few pints, or go up to the steakhouse if you wanted to eat, and go into Duffy's as you did. Like, at least you have the option, and there's no drama about it. You know, taxis or Ubers required. Everyone's friendly. You know, everyone's happy to meet you and happy to have a chat with you. And I think, as you said, Ryan, it's a nice way to break into the trip. You know, nothing too overbearing or too busy.
And then we kick off the golf the next day, which we made it past our 8 p.m. goal to like 11:30, which I was very proud of, even though it might not have
overshot the
might not have come, you know, just on pure energy alone. And then we made the trip up to Boutre, to County Louth, which up until this point in the trip, it was exactly what I had packed for, which was 65, a little bit of cloudy, maybe some rain. And then about two holes in, after a lovely drive up, everything changed. But on that drive, where we go through Tiernan, we had to go through Drogheda to get up to Boutre.
Yeah. It's pretty much from Malahide. Once you get out of the village, your motorway all the way up north until you turn into Drogheda town. And you look, that's a kind of 10 minute detour, but that's the only way to get out to the coast where Boutre is. And I think the drive through is very unassuming, and it's sort of, I'd say, you set a few doubts to your mind as where exactly are we heading? And then you take this little right turn into Boutre, and then up into the golf course, and it just all of a sudden comes alive. I think it's a nice reveal for the golf course.
Yeah, and I would say it's a nice reveal from start to finish, Brendan, because you go and you tee off of one. We had a great, lovely lunch in the clubhouse, got ourselves ready. It was starting to rain. I was like, all right, this is the Ireland I planned for, and then we're going to build on to a Lynx course experience that was amazing, and then built up to all the way out to 14. Brendan, what did you think about County Louth?
I tell you what, when you take it the right off the road to pull into the parking lot and you go to the clubhouse, you know, history is just dripping off the walls. To go out to the first tee and to look out over, you know, you could see flatness on the golf course, which is surrounded by the landscape of the seacoast and the shrubbery around it. It's eye-catching. The colors were just amazing. The skies were gray. The grass was green for the first few holes. And then it started to rain a little bit, and then it stopped, and then it started to rain a little bit, and then it stopped, and then the skies opened up, and it was sunny. Yeah.
And then it didn't rain again for like 8 days.
Yes. And it was great. I think one of the highlights of the day is your second hole, like banging a 90 footer to get that puppy to go in. It was
woke
great.
Me up a little bit. Yeah.
The dunes were fabulous. The bunkers were amazing. And just the way that, how a golf course from the 1800s has taken the test of time and have so many people try to copy that. I think in a selfish way, we started off, you know, on top of the mountain, you know, and it's like, how do we compare the rest of this trip to that? But it was a lovely, a great golf course. And I definitely think if you're doing a trip, it's a must play.
Pete, can you tell people a little bit about kind of the experience of being able to play the double? We didn't play the double, but to have C.2 right there, kind of butting right up against it. And maybe for some people are trying to make a 2-for-1 in a day.
Yeah, because both of those courses are somewhat isolated in their location. You are normally driving to them. You're going out of your way to play them, and they're work going out of your way to play. But they actually, the two courses are they reverse onto each other. They're back to back. So if you've got a 36 hole a day mindset, it's ideal. It is absolutely ideal because both are very, like, both are Lynx golf courses. Baltrae is the big brother here. There's no doubt about it. It's got the history and it's got the layout and design and the dunes. But Sea Point's an excellent golf course to make that 36 hole day out of. And you can do it quite easily because both have excellent clubhouses, really good catering options. And if you use Malahide for a base, which we do for a lot of the time, you're only 45 minutes away to get back home, you know. So it's a, you know, if you're doing a 36 hole, it's a doable one in that you've not got a big drive between golf courses. And I'm like Brendan, and I think Ryan, you probably, because by far, like, I started slow in Baltrae, and my game found me somewhere around the back nine. Brendan had the lefts going on for the day, that he figured out as the week went on. But I think after it took that 90 footer for you on the second, and then you were just in your slipstream. I mean, it was a pleasure to watch you play Baltrae.
Yeah. What I really loved about Baltrae was all the strategy required. Like, I never played a true Lynx golf course until that day. And just the variety of holes, lots of different looks. You favor going left sometimes, favor going right sometimes.
Yeah.
Lots of places to avoid, but pretty wide, generous landing areas. And then I feel like around the 11th hole, I started to hear the ocean. And that's when I think I kind of figured out, okay, we're over those dunes over there is what we get to when we get to 14T. And then making that climb up. Brendan, what was that reveal like?
You get on top of 14T. I'm looking at a 180 shot that I took right now. And it's breathtaking, you know. To the east is the Irish Sea. To the north is this Sea Point golf course. Looking south is the rest of the golf course, and you're really on top of this beautiful mound overlooking what I think is just like a golf heaven almost of the visual, not only visual but the audio, like hearing the waves crash across and the wind blowing across the foliage. It was really cool. I mean, that was the, wow, I'm in Ireland moment when I got there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that reveal is like, all right, you're here. Like, this is what you came for kind of thing. And the experience of different shot making, lots of like kind of blind shots into saddles, hitting through saddles into greens, that felt kind of quintessentially Irish. In terms of some of the shot making we had to do, it was just a great, great experience. And then a nice way to kind of wrap it up with lunch after, and then head back to a great base in Malahide for the night. We refamiliarized ourselves with Gibney's and Duffy's, and then
but we did find the one lone casino in the town.
We didn't stay more than what, like 5 minutes, and lost five pence in there on virtual roulette.
That didn't make the highlight reel.
No, that was not, that is not a highlight of the trip. So if you're a gambler, that is go to the bookies because that's fun. But don't, yeah. don't please don't go to one of the casinos. It's not what you think if you're an American.
Exactly. So day two kicks off, and we go to Port Marnock.
And Port Marnock links.
And the day sort of started off the same, a little foggy, a little hazy, a little misty yeah. going on. And we go up to this, you know, really cool looking hotel. The staff was outstanding. We had electric golf carts, which was cool, that walking carts that came with you, and took a couple minutes to figure that out, but it worked out great. And then again, you're at a links type golf course, seaside links. Bernhard Langer did it in the 90s, and it's hosted some really cool events. And there's another test of links golf in Ireland. So back-to-back days of really just spectacular things. And they were talking about, okay, well, here's the new part of the course. It's like, well, everything's new to us. So, you know, starting off, the cool thing about this property is it was on the Jameson estate.
Yeah,
and going off the first hole, you look on the right-hand side, there's a cemetery right there, and the manor house is right there. And all of a sudden, that's where the history starts kicking in, and you start looking at the land, and it's like, holy cow, they carved a golf course out of this. So, yeah, talk us through this, Ryan. It was really pretty neat experience.
Two things I really liked about Port Marnock Links. One was it was completely different than Baltry. I mean, it could not have been stylistically more. You knew it was a modern golf course. Bernhard Langer loves himself some pot bunkers and sod-faced walls and his bunkers, and put them all over the place. You didn't have to hit driver to get around the place, which was really nice. Not that you had to at Baltry, but you definitely didn't have to at Port Marnock Links. And the other thing I really liked was kind of the slow burn. And I didn't appreciate it at first. My first 4, 5, 6 holes, you're like, okay, this is nice. It's pretty. But where are we going? And then you get to kind of 7, 8, start some of the new holes. And then you get to 9, which is a kind of sister par 3 with 15 later. And you get to the tee box, like, there it is. Again, there's what you're here for. There's a view of the sea. There's a view of an island. There's a view of a beach. And then it kind of really picks up from there.
Yeah, it's as a package in terms of like the hotel is really superb that they have there, the Golf Links Hotel. And the guys that run, the director of golf, Paul and Niall, and the golf operations there, really run a great show. From the kind of a visitor experience for the golfers that are coming in just to play the golf. And like you said, it is a new links comparative to the likes of a County Louth, and you can tell that by its design, as you said. I really like the new holes, the changes they've made, and I like how they've gone about that, in that they're thinking bigger and better, which I think is, you have to applaud them for. So I wouldn't be surprised to see some bigger events come in there over the next 5 years. I'm not sure if that's where their headspace is at, but I think that's what they're gearing up for. There's some of those, like I think that 8th hole is class. I love that 8th hole. I love the par 3 back towards the water.
Yeah,
I could play that every day. I really think it's a great golf hole. And then 16, 17, 18
is enormous too. Oh my goodness, that green is huge.
Yeah
the par 3 is definitely stood out, especially going towards the to the Irish Sea. I mean, you get over the wind factor came into play a few times in the hole, and then again we had bonus weather. I mean, by the time we hit the fourth hole, you know, we're taking off layers, and next thing you know, we're finishing in short sleeves. And the proximity to the town of Malahide and Dublin is a plus factor. I mean, you could literally fly into Dublin, go up to Malahide. You could play, you know, County Louth, Seaside, Port Marnock, turn around, go back home, and you're a gorilla, you know, 72 hours of golf you could possibly do and be totally satisfied.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And then to be able to just make it really convenient, it was a 15-minute cab ride. Hotel set that up for us, and Tiernan set that up through the hotel. They came and got us. Easy to get there. I do want to point out to people, and I thought this was very smart on Tierden's part setting this up. Get buggies. Like, get them some of the time. I know people love walking. I know people will complain, oh, well, you should always walk when you play golf. But if you have, in your first couple of days, a lot of golf schedule, you will get tired. There will be jet lag. So riding in a cart for one of the rounds is totally okay. Walking Port Marnock links was perfect. Kind of woke you up a little bit at one day two. But please factor in some time in a buggy in some of your rounds, especially if you're going to go for it and go play every day, 5-6 days in a row.
Yeah, yeah. It's important to pick your fights, but then you've got to remember that you guys and most people are doing more than just playing golf. You know, you're out every night. You know, we did some great sightseeing stuff, which we'll come to in a minute as well. So you want to be able to, that you've got the batteries charged. You're burning candles at both ends. You know, you're here to enjoy yourself as well. So, yeah, no, you're right. Take the cart when you need it. Go for it.
And then we go for Port Marnock Links. We go into Dublin City, and we get to go do two really cool things. One's a tourist trap that I would absolutely recommend doing, and one I don't think most Americans would think to do, which is the tour of Croke Park, which is kind of the home of All Ireland, GAA, Gaelic Athletic Association, finals for hurling and Gaelic football. 82,000 seat stadium, which I didn't know it was that huge. But Tiernan and you and your family have such a great connection to the GAA and to hurling and to football and a love for Croke Park. And it was really cool to see your love of that kind of come through in our travels there and time that we spent there. But Brendan, I thought it was a really cool experience as an American to kind of get to go see a mecca of sport in a different country and what that meant to the people who were on tour, or many of them were just Irish people who wanted to see Croke Park.
There were, I think, two other Americans on the tour with us. And I actually was at Croke Park back in 2018. I think it was 19. I saw Taylor Swift play there. So returning back and finding out what the actual use of the pitch is and the history behind it made me appreciate not only the pride of the GAA and what it means to the people of Ireland, but just to hear the stories and the wow factor. You know, it'd be like you and I, Ryan, like maybe doing a behind the scenes, like going to Fenway Park or Wrigley Field, but doesn't even hold a candle to that. I mean, just the pride factor of the Gaelic football and the hurling. And the stories behind that and how everybody in the whole country gets behind it. And just hearing Tiernan's story of his dad and he and his brother and his niece that plays for the Irish national team and now his children and how they have all played at Croke Park and the behind the scenes on how Tiernan actually got to play at Croke Park, being a local resident.
That's an off-air story, Brendan.
Okay. that was an unexpected, like, okay, you know, I could live without, all of a sudden I went there. I was like, wow, this is really cool. And it gave me a sense of pride and appreciation towards the GAA. And I became a fan. And to top that off, we even got a little bonus. We went to a U18 match on a Saturday and got some bonus footage on that. So I really appreciate it. Well,
it was really cool to be able to see Gaelic football actually played at a club level, local level, because I mean, we as parents, I mean, we've all got kids at different ages. We know plenty of American sports on the weekends and seeing what that's like. We know what that is, but I feel like it was just a different experience getting to watch a sport you didn't know, played at a really high level, four or five different age groups going on at the same time, kind of what U17, kind of U20, type level of kids who, again, it's all amateur stuff. It's not like you're playing these sports to go turn pro and make millions and millions of dollars. You're doing it because you love it. I think the pride of all that really does shine through.
Yeah, it's a very popular tour or kind of stepping stone in a lot of what we do, and it's more at the end of it, because at the start of it, you know, not every group are full of sports fans, and we've all done stadium tours, and they're nice to do. It's how much you learn about the Irish people and where we've come from and what our Gaelic games mean to us culturally, that I think Croke Park does really well. And the fact that it's, you know, it's obviously Dublin city centre and it's easy to get in and out of. It's something I really enjoy bringing our groups to see. Whether you're into sports or not, I think you can get something out of it. And it's I never get tired. I've been there, you know, on the tour. I've probably done it 30 times, but you know, I try and get to Croke Park as much as I can every year. Unfortunately, Wexford don't play enough these days in Croke Park, so I'm normally there watching other teams play. But it's something I think is pretty special.
The boys in '96.
The boys in '96. Yes, don't get me started.
So I want to give a shout out to I know it's a touristy trap thing, and if you've probably researched a Dublin trip at all, you've probably seen, you know, the St. James Gate and the Guinness Tour, but it is a good tourist trap. It really is fun for an hour and a half. Go in, kick your legs up, go take the tour if you want. That's totally up to you, kind of self-guided type thing. Or you can just go straight up to the top, go to the gravity bar, get yourself a Guinness, and just look around the city. I think that's probably one of the best ways to just kind of get your bearings in Dublin and be like, all right, here's everything that's around you, thousands of years of history around you, and kind of point you in the right direction while you kind of take it all in. It's a cool atmosphere. What do you think, Brendan?
It's a must go to if you've never been, and to say, hey, did you do the Guinness Tour? Absolutely. We got our picture taken in front of it. We got our faces in a frosty mug.
It printed on the froth on top, which was, that was pretty cool.
I couldn't believe the amount of people that were there and how it flowed so easily. I mean, that's what they do. It's an attraction within an attraction, and whoever thought about putting the gravity bar up top was a genius. And what a great way to see the city from all different angles. And it was smooth. It was great. Easy in, easy out. Obviously, Tiernan knew the neighborhood pretty well. And it's a bucket list. And I checked the box and had a Guinness at Guinness.
All right. So we get out of Dublin. And I think that was probably about the right amount of time in Dublin for a golf trip. Like, you got, what, 3-4 hours in Dublin. It was perfect. Got to experience something touristy, something not touristy, at least as far as an American probably is concerned. And then golf the next day just absolutely blew our minds.
Mind blowing.
European club. I mean, it's in County Wicklow. And not everyone is going to get the opportunity that we did to talk to the living course architect that built it, lives there, and still makes alterations to it, Pat Reddy. But getting to spend an hour with him before we played golf, when, by the way, we budgeted for 10 minutes, to hear him talk about his career and his life and still kind of figuring out what he thinks can be better about this masterpiece of his was something I'm not going to forget. I mean, it was really remarkable, and you'll be able to watch it in our production of all of this. But just to hear him go through his life and then kind of talk about the things that he's experienced on and off the golf course is pretty awesome.
I didn't realize the magnitude of meeting Pat, how it shaped the rest of the trip for me. I've been around golf writers for quite a long time. I've been around golf course architects for quite a long time. But to meet someone of his caliber was sort of mixing in Arnold Palmer with Pete Dye, and name a famous somebody with a personality of just a giant,
almost like a Dan Jenkins too, because of his journalism background. I mean, to an American sports fan,
absolutely.
And just imagine if Dan Jenkins designed one of the best golf courses in Ireland or in the United States, and that then he had that story to tell. I mean, that's Pat Reddy. I mean, that's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Well, and then his connection with Jackie Burke, which is another thing that was totally. And, you know, we met his kids, and they were wonderful, and to have Mr. Ruddy invite us up into his house, to his library with 75, you know, 100 books in there was just truly amazing. To go into his study, to sit down at the conference table and to say, sir, you know, can we get you for 10 minutes? And then we're 55 minutes in. It's like, you guys have been trying to leave for a while, haven't you? And and I think that's one of those things that we'll look back in this trip. And I'll reflect upon that of meeting Pat. And as time passes, I'll appreciate it more. But that was, I think, an unexpected four-star adventure right there that I wasn't really planning on. And it really came into fruition, and it was great. And then to go out and play his golf course. Oh, my gosh. You know, hearing about it and then going to see it. And every one of the holes out there, I don't mean to get ahead of us. You know, if you have 18 signature holes on a golf course, I think you have that place right there, plus two bonus holes. Everything was just so put together so nicely and so planned. And I could see when he was talking about the golf course, it's like, you know, he's got 18 Mona Lisas in front of him, and each one of them is perfect.
That he spent 5 years just personally doing it, figuring out what he wanted, shaping the land as he needed. Not making too many alterations, I don't suspect. But then to have something he can sit in his apartment every day and look out upon and go, I did that. And then get to see people like us experience that. I mean, the first hole you tee off, it looks fairly tight. And I think you kind of wonder, okay, what are you about to get into? And then you get to the first green, second tee, you see the water, and you go, oh, this is about to happen. And it like you said, it's just banger after banger of cool reveal, cool architecture, challenging architecture. It's not an easy golf course. It probably is the most difficult golf. Well, I wouldn't say probably. It is the most difficult golf course that we played on the trip. And you can expect to kind of get whooped a little bit if you're not on your game for that day. But it's also extremely fair. There's plenty of opportunity to keep it in play, to score, to have some chances out there. And then you get to 12T, and all of a sudden it feels like the world even changes even better. Right, Tiernan?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, given the intro you had to the European, because, again, it's one of my favorites. So I was probably binging it up to you. The hour we got to spend with Pat, you know, Pat does like to meet people and chat them, but that was unique in terms of that experience. So it was... It would have been totally acceptable if you were somewhat underwhelmed of the golf course after the intro you had to it. But yet, I think it exceeded all expectations. So after the build-up, it still knocked your socks off, which I think says so much about that golf course. I said it to you, I want to play it once every year just to remind myself how good a golf course it is and how bad a golfer I really am. Because no matter how well I play on that golf course, I'm still losing 5 golf balls. And I still walk off saying, I'll do that again.
Well, here's an underlying bonus that we didn't really take into consideration. So Pat wanted to have some privacy with his other guests, and we were obviously taking pictures and whatnot of the golf course. But the time that we teed off at 4 o'clock. And what I wasn't expecting was how the golf course laid down with the shadows of the dunes and creating a different, that I don't think too many people would ever really notice or see, but the way the shadows laid down across the fairways that were coming off the dunes, it really defined each hole. It defined like the whole back nine. And then having the drone out there as well. No, we didn't have the drone out there. But just taking like some stills, I mean, looking at pictures now in the way that, you know, 16 is carved out with the foliage on each side of the fairway. And then the shadows that are coming off that and the haze coming off the Irish Sea. It was just so cool. Unexpected bonus there.
Yeah, that hole really stood out to me after spending basically 4 holes on the seaside. And you're looking left or looking right at the water every step of the way. And then you get to this hole where it's a short par four into a valley. And you think, okay, well, that's kind of not a weak hole, but a completely different experience. It turns out to be a really strong hole because it's completely different than what you just saw for the last four or five holes. And the way it just kind of plays into the valley, and then to add in kind of golden hour sun and shadows, that made it extra special. I mean, and then to kind of wrap everything up as the sun was starting to set and those rabbits were wrestling one another, so to speak.
They're coming back right now. Yes.
They're hard to get booked. I try and book those rabbits for most of my tours, but I only got them last minute for you guys to turn up.
Well, good on Shane to have the cage hidden away before he released them. Shane was with us for several days shooting video, and that's where we met him at European Club. And yeah. We had such a good time there. I mean, it was just a really cool atmosphere. And I, not that I'm trying to say always play this based on the time of day, but if there were a golf course you were going to play late in the day, I think this is the one I would say yes to there and Ross Lair. But it, just the way that the sun strikes that golf course is unparalleled that I've ever experienced.
It's a bucket list golf course, not only in Ireland, but I think in a lifetime, if you're looking at places to play, this is definitely one that would stand out in my, you know, top whatever category of cool places.
Probably
to
one
play.
Of my 10 favorites ever, and I've had the good fortune to play 5 of the world top 10. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's just an experience. It's you got to do it. I don't care how it fits into your trip, but you got to do it.
And the great thing about the European Club is if you're coming from Dublin, it's the majority of highway driving. So you're on the highway pretty much the whole way, and you just get off, you're a few minutes off the highway. So it's not the journey of a thousand painful stabs of going through some of the other parts of the world. But yeah, location is great.
Thank you guys for spending some time with me going over the first half of our trip. We still have half of the golf courses left to talk about on our journey. We still have got several more towns to get into, including Wexford. And we're going to have a really great time talking about the second half of this trip on the next episode of this Trip Recap podcast. Thank you to you for listening, spending some time with us. If you are interested in your own journey to Ireland's ancient East, check out clubchoiceireland.com. Again, Tiernan is amazing. He did a great job for us creating a truly unforgettable vacation. It's a custom itinerary for every single client. So he will work with you and your party size to meet your goals in terms of golf, in terms of other heritage trips and tours that you want to see. And I promise you will have an incredible time. Check him out at clubchoiceireland.com. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thanks for spending some time with us. We will be back next time. Talk to you soon.